Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light. So the show, Zoe and Teddy, for anyone watching, today we are joined by this beautiful divine union embodiment lovership, Zoe Dane and Teddy Saunders. These are two independent, really powerful leaders who have been on a wildly multidimensional and catalytic journey in order to create the devotional union that they are in now. After spending about a year and a half apart and doing their own inner work required, they are now in reunion and actually engaged to be married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Woo!
And they are very passionate about teaching others everything that they've learned through their experience in order to cultivate an expansive, polarized, rich, and deeply fulfilling divine union, which is why we're having them on our show to talk about divine union and just to really hear, yeah, your guys' story, your journey, the ups, the downs, the dirty, the beautiful, all of it is welcome. And that's why we are here with cis societies, to really explore the shadows that lie in between that divine union that we want and where we are. And so welcome into the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So maybe we can just start off by, yeah, having you guys both just share a little bit about the journey that you've been on, including the time that you were separated, especially the time when you're separated and how that prepared you for where you are now.
Well, should we start from the beginning, babe?
Of course. I mean, sure. Yeah. You mean since we met? Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So I'll just kick it off. and I'll just like share a little bit about my story and then he'll share his perspective. That's how we usually tell the story. But I, my mom was a part of this yoga community and like the burner community. And I was really deep in the throes of my own like soul searching and stripping back the layers and really in this deep refinement space where I was not looking for love, not looking for anything to steer me off of my path. And that's usually when it comes into our field, right? And so I had this like complete ego death. And then my mom's like, do you want to come to this ecstatic dance with me? Cause I was like in tears from this ego death. I couldn't process it. And she's like, do you want to come to this yoga ecstatic dance? And I was like, sure, I'm just going to surrender. And so I go, I'm like in full wild woman mode, like no fucks given. And then after the dance is when I met Teddy, and he was talking about some big existential pieces, and you know, he had like a group magnetized to his channeling, and I was just like, oh, who's this, you know? And then from there we kind of started like weaving around each other, and then there was a New Year's Eve party about 5 years ago, where I can hand it off to you, babe, if you want to share about that part.
Yeah, so I guess we met on a pretty quantum night because Zoe had a profound awakening the day I met her. And then it's interesting because the day I met her, I brought a date to that event. And then on New Year's, I was in sort of an open relationship. And just ever since I met Zoe, just fell in love and had a crush for months and months. And then things started getting serious. I asked her mom, I told her mom on New Year's night, like, I have a crush on your daughter. And her mom's like, don't be a player, Teddy. Because her mom knows that I was in an open relationship. And then when things started deepening with Zoe and I, she really stood her ground and knew her value and knew that she wanted a monogamous relationship. And it kind of forced me to make a decision. I could decide to stay open and free, or I could decide to close the container and be with just her, in which we did that. And and it was a scary thing for me. And you know, a year and a half, no, 2.5 years went by as we kept the container closed and navigated stuff. And I think for me, you know, the thought of marriage was really scary. The thought of like going all in a major way was really scary, and I wasn't ready. And things got, I think there was like a boy in me that wanted to stay free, that Peter Pan energy. Or you could call it a fuckboy energy. I don't want to necessarily take that label, but I think there's like, you know, a masculine quest for freedom, where they don't realize that the freedom can come from union. Mm-hmm. They think that union is going to block that freedom. And it's hard psychologically for a man to compute that you can have more freedom with commitment to a good woman. And I didn't understand that. And that led us to a separation, which was really hard because my mom got diagnosed with cancer the day after we separated. And so I basically lost my two best feminine supports in my life. And I felt like I went on an initiation at that point because I feel like my dad wasn't really embodied in his masculine. And so I never got that modeled for me. Mm. And the pain of separating from Zoe made me curious more about the work. But I think a lot of people can know the work and they don't embody the work until they have to. Mm. And Zoe can, I want Zoe to share her side of that story, but the pain of longing for Zoe, you know, I think I thought that I wanted a person who is just like me, but that means that I wanted a man, which makes no sense. And I looked at Zoe as this opposite thing from me, and I was judgmental in this boy version of myself, and not seeing that all the things that I judge are actually the best gifts that Zoe has, mm. that are sort of those polar opposite gifts of her delicateness and her emotional sensitivity. The old version of me saw that as a burden. And then through my pain of separation, I had to realize that that's actually her superpower. Oh. And how grateful I was to have a woman who is that emotionally sensitive and delicate so that she can help me grow, because I want to grow through her. And that's what that's what the best relationships do. But I had to become a man, to put quite frankly. Because I don't think my father ever showed me what that really meant. I think he was a bit avoidant. And guess who showed me what that meant? It was Zoe. It was Zoe through keeping strong boundaries again, and keeping her values again, and you know, having her podcast that I would secretly listen to when we were separated, and like get really curious about. But I don't want to talk too much. We can keep going so deep. But yeah, like commitment is the whole thing that we should probably talk about, what that means. Mm-hmm. But that, I think the pain of like loving someone so deep and then realizing that really the things that you don't like about them are mostly projections about your own childhood wounds and your own insecurities. And realizing that there's so much medicine in union, and that through union, they can kind of see your blind spots and they can sort of initiate you if you're open and humble enough to listen. And so I'm grateful to have a partner like Zoe who's sensitive enough to see the things that are needed, and also strong enough to stand her ground and hold her value as a strong woman, a strong and sensitive woman at the same time. And so she broke a pattern. She made me into a man after I had been a boy serial dating forever. So I'll leave it at that.
My heart is just already like I was almost gonna cry like multiple times just listening. And yeah, I really, really resonate, and it resonates as truth. Like it just resonates as a full body truth in my being, in my heart. Thank you, Zoe, for just being embodied in your oracular queen intuitive wisdom and your emotions. That's something that I feel like a lot of women are scared to really own, the fullness of the emotions that we can experience, the wildness, the primal, the raw, the ugly. Like, and in the past, we haven't felt safe to express all of that in relationship because men haven't been able to connect with that within themselves. So, how can they accept something in another person that they haven't been able to accept in themselves? And what I'm seeing now and hearing in your story is that that man, that being a man, isn't pushing away your emotions. It's actually embracing them. And through the embracing of your own sensitive heart spaces, then you're able to really see that and worship that in this like divine union relationship, that and learn from it and grow from it in all the ways that maybe you weren't modeled from your dad, and how to have a healthy emotional regulation. And I think that's really in the collective. Like, this is just one story, but I'm sure that like so many people can relate. And something that you mentioned that I just want to touch on, like so much of it was I want to touch on, but the first thing that I want to touch on is you said, I believed that I would be more free if I were open or I were on my own, but actually there's more freedom that I found through commitment. And that's like such a golden nugget. I would love for you to go into that more and explain what you mean by that and how you've actually found more freedom through commitment.
Yeah, it's a really good topic. There's one word that is so important. I realized, so when Zoe and I separated, I feel like I nearly died. I actually sort of lost my mind eventually because I went really deep on the regret and sort of the despair of regret. And I realized the most important thing in life is safety. Like, and actually I realized that every single thing we do is based on safety. If we're angry at someone, it's because we need to protect ourselves from them. So whenever anyone gets hurt, it's because the other person's being safe. And so one can think that being alone is safe. One can think that being independent is safe and having the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want, and not need permission from anyone, that feels safe, or at least free. But
Especially, I just want to say, especially for
yeah,
men.
especially, yeah, I guess I can only speak for men. But realizing to have a good woman who, you know, when I think of the feminine, I think of like this nest, like this soft, loving presence. Like, as the masculine, we have a desire to be out in battle, out conquering and fixing things and on a mission a lot of the time. That's why we play sports a lot and like create war and stuff like that. The masculine has this need to like create challenge and push against the challenge, and life is filled with challenge. But to have that soft feminine to come home to, as your safety, it allows the masculine to go deeper into battle and to go deeper into these challenges and stretch themselves to do better in your career and have and like take bigger risks. I mean, you want to take calculated risks, obviously, but I feel like having a good woman who loves you and is loyal and is devoted and committed to you allows the man this safety net of love that creates more freedom. And you know, the world can judge you, and if your woman can love you no matter what, then it doesn't matter if the world judges you because you have a home in somebody. And having that home keeps you so safe. And so to have a partner, and the same goes with me. You know, I can only speak on the behalf of the masculine, but like no matter what Zoe does, no matter what decisions she makes, no matter how she fails, I will always choose her unconditionally and commit to her and make sure that she's safe. And because of that union, it allows her to stretch herself into new levels of expansion, because I'll always be able to hold her if she fails. And that, and so I think that allows more freedom for people. Because if you fail when you're alone, then you kind of have to, there's no like softness that you can still, you know, get love from. We can get love from our family, our dogs, or like whatever, but it's different when you have like an actual person that's always there for you.
Wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing your reflection on how that commitment actually does cultivate more of a field for freedom and exploration. It's like an analogy that keeps coming through is like this tree, and the deeper that you grow your roots into the ground, then the higher that those branches can grow, and like the more fruits and leaves and flowers that can blossom from that depth into the earth. And so the roots of the tree being the commitment and the devotion actually support the expansion. It's not the other way around. And it's like oftentimes what we resist is actually the medicine to what we really want.
We talk about that all the time.
But we hear sometimes. Oh, go Elf.
Well, there's just, if you want to finish on this, because I had one more question to follow up on something Teddy had mentioned earlier that felt really important to cover.
Oh, I just want to share that I think sometimes what we fear is what we desire in a really interesting and a way. And I love that analogy. And as you were speaking, Teddy, and well, first and foremost, I'm so grateful to have you both on the show. Like, it's opening up so much in my body. Like, my heart feels, it's beating faster. Like, there's just some codes coming online. But yeah, I also had I had this analogy as you were speaking. And it's like, I've always seen relationships or the concept of union as the masculine and feminine on the ledge of this cliff. Right. And what you want to do when you're on that cliff is be able to like move around and dance and play and feel this freedom. But there's no like ledge there. Right. Like, if there aren't boundaries and there isn't clarity in the relationship, you'll die. Right. Yeah. So you're like, wait, I want freedom, but like, I can't actually go that close to the ledge and see what's down there because I'll fall. So when something about the recognition of coming together in divine union creates that barrier and that boundary, so you can actually feel the spaciousness of freedom, like within the confines of a physical being, you know, like within the space of, I'm trying to explain it, but I think you're getting it. And I just, that really hit home, that analogy that I've been seeing and feeling when you both were sharing. So yeah, thanks again for, and I know that you have a question, Elf, so I'll toss it to you and continue the delicious divine union codes.
Oh, my whole body is like, I feel really stimulated and activated right now. So thank you for sharing. Teddy, something else I just want to follow up, and then maybe we can go to Zoe and get more of the feminine perspective. But this masculine perspective is so enriching. Yes. And something you're sharing is like, you didn't grow up with a father figure who modeled to you the type of divine masculine manhood that you're saying that you've had to really initiate yourself through, with the support of Zoe, inviting you into that place, inviting you into these initiations through her heart, through her feminine intuition, through her visions. And I would love for you to explain a little bit more about how that lack of that modeling in your life from the masculine in a healthy way impacted your perception of what it was to be a man. And then how, through these initiations with Zoe and your relationship and also your time apart, how you've been able to step into that manhood and what that manhood looks like and feels like now on the other side.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, I can only speak for my own story, which is pretty interesting. My father, I feel like I'm only safe to say this stuff because my father's not here. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be hard for me to say my dad never made me a man if he was alive. But it came in layers. At this point, my mom's not here either. So a lot of that initiated me. Because when you look at like tribes back in the day, around the time 13, if you're a Maasai warrior, you have to kill a lion when you're 13. But a lot of the time, the elders actually turn the children into men. You have to kind of leave the family in order to become a man and like separate from the family. And so I had the misfortune and the blessing simultaneously for both my parents to die, which in itself was an initiation. Had Zoe, it was crazy because Zoe and I separated the day my mom got cancer. And so I didn't have anyone to love me or protect me or keep me safe as my mom was literally dying in my arms. And so let's see if I can ground this. There's a seriousness that comes with being a man. And I think my father could never like look me in the eye and like tell me his values. He was a Harvard guy. He ran a global magazine. He was really fun and funny and a community man. But I don't have memories of him like being very serious. Like I didn't have many boundaries. There wasn't that much discipline. And I think that actually as a parent, parents can be scared to discipline their kids because they don't want their kids to reject them, which is it's a narcissistic-ish trait. That's a strong word, which we don't need to get into, but yeah. So like for any men listening, I think for the feminine listening too, what I realized, I had no idea about polarity. Zoe wanted me to study polarity, and it was out of a need because my father never told me. Like, I just didn't know. Like, despite my parents, I didn't know what polarity of the masculine and feminine was. I didn't know what it meant to be feminine or meant to be masculine. And then I realized, oh, wow, I have a lot of feminine tendencies that I can do. But most importantly, how can I be in a more masculine frame so that Zoe can be in a more feminine frame? I think when her and I separated, our polarities switched, and I had no idea that that was happening because I just didn't know. I hadn't studied these things, and my father never really showed me. My father was a fairly feminine person, and I think my mom was a fairly guarded, masculine energy. But I'm a biological man who's straight, you know. So it makes sense for me to be masculine and know what that means. So yeah, I don't know if that quite answered your question. We can keep unraveling that.
Yeah,
but I think it comes down to like a seriousness. There's a seriousness, and the feminine needs that seriousness to feel safe. Because if the masculine is Peter Panning around and making jokes and being light and fun, which I am a lot of the time, but that's not necessarily safe. And I think when I think of my dad, he was light and fun and funny, but that's not necessarily safe. So. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I want to piggyback off of.
Yeah, sure. I'm like, okay, I'm into it.
So what I'm hearing is like the recognition from the masculine to be able to hold a frame, right, for the feminine, to be able to feel the grounded presence and frame and containment, like you were saying. Remind me your name. It's Elfina and
Heather.
Like I love that analogy of the cliff because it's the containment. And something that I've noticed a lot in the spiritual community, and this is not to put anything down, I think it's all, you know, it's all relative. Something I've noticed is there's a lot of like, free this, free that, let's have our own beds and our own spaces. There's almost too much like, independence and sovereignty, right? It's like we've taken the sovereignty thing and we fucking ran with it, right? And what that does is it create, like, there's not enough containment in unions that I've seen, that I've witnessed, you know? And so when I met Teddy, I had been reading a book called Creating Union, not realizing that this was like my whole dharmic path, and that Teddy was like, I will just go there and say my twin flame, my flame, like, we've, you know, it's, we have that tether that is, it's transcendent, it's super multidimensional and quantum, and it was there from the beginning. However, you know, there was a lot of refinement that needed to happen. And so when I met him, reading this book, Creating Union, Heather, to go back to your analogy, it was like the purpose of union and devotional union is to have a container to continually reveal your soul to the other. It is an infinite unfolding. Mm-hmm. And so before, you know, I knew I was preparing myself for that caliber of union. And when Teddy and I met, there was an undeniable depth and connection that, you know, I had already set that value and that standard. Like, this is the caliber of union that I'm preparing myself for. And this is like the only thing that I'm available for, you know? And Teddy beautifully was able to meet me in that. And however, like, in the beginning, there was still a lot of stuff around commitment. And so the way I see every man is they are a micro, same with the feminine, a micro to the macro of the collective of the masculine, same with us, right? So I was seeing this pattern playing out of the fear of commitment, you know, the let's just flow with it. Let's just see where this goes, right? And with that, there's no directionality, there's no containment. And the feminine needs that containment to feel safe and to actually blossom and to unfold, right? We need the presence and the pillar of the masculine. And so I feel that that's a lot of what Teddy was just sharing about. But when we got together, there was the commitment piece. And so we started diving into that. We're like, okay, we love each other deeply. We know the potential that's here. And we would always call it peeling back the onion layers. I now like to say artichoke, because you're continually peeling back the layers to get to the heart. And it's infinite, right? So the first layer on the masculine's end was the piece around commitment. And this is a big collective masculine piece that most men are working through. You know, there's a fear, and like Teddy so beautifully touched on, it's the fear of feeling like there's no freedom in union. And if I choose this woman, it's just this and I'm confined, right? So over time, we started to define what the containment of our union was. However, when we like moved into cohabitating in the same space, all of the stuff around commitment started coming back up for Teddy. And my feminine was just like, uh-uh, like that does not feel safe. I can't blossom here. And he needed to know that he could choose his sovereignty, right? And we were like, okay, if it's meant to be, and if our love is as deep as we feel it to be, it can't go away. Like nothing can stop it from happening. So yeah, we're just going to trust the initiation that's happening right now. And it was on Lionsgate Portal. It was fucking cinematic and dramatic as F. And it felt like a huge, like, Magdalene initiation. I always say, you know, it felt like letting my beloved go to the cross to be resurrected in more of his Christ consciousness, more of his divine masculine energy. And I just had to keep dying unto the initiation and, like, letting it go to God, letting him go and praying for the highest timeline. And the quote that got me through it is actually from Tantra Illuminated author Christopher Wallace. I had a mentor at the time, and she just kept saying Zoe, because it was excruciating. Our separation was excruciating. Oh. And she would say, throw yourself into the fire. Nothing true shall perish, and nothing false shall remain. And so I had it plastered everywhere. So like every time my heart was in yearning, I'm like, okay, I'm going to ride this yearning. I'm going to ride the grief. I'm going to like let it guide me, you know, and I'm going to continue to trust God's plan. And so in the duration of our separation, Teddy and I, it's like our hearts were always in telepathy, but the humans were having some things go down. And so we would try to reunite, and every time we would try to reunite, maybe like four or five times throughout our separation, it just wasn't time yet. The energetics hadn't calibrated to the space of what the union needed in order for it to be like the new paradigm of union, the like truly transformational new earth union that I've always had the vision of and known in my heart to be true. And I always knew it was him. However, I had to let that completely go. Mm-hmm. If he can't rise into this template, I'm going to have, like, it's, you know, it's always this or something better. And luckily it got to be this or something better with this same human. And, you know, he rose. And in that time of initiation, he burned and he rose like a phoenix, and he came back and was able to claim me. But our reunion happened in a very auspicious way. But when we met in this timeline, right? Because what happens is, like, there are timelines that are collapsing, right? If we choose true devotional union, we will be met with it in some way. And as women, it's so important for us to continue to hold true to our values and our heart, to operate from our womb. And if that means not having a partner for a duration of time, so be it. We just continue to surrender to God's will, God's path, right? And so in that space of continuing to die to that, I was like, even though this is all I want is to marry Teddy, my flame, like literal journal entry on journal entry about this, I'm willing to let it all burn. And I trust that, you know, it's this or something better. The better it gets, the better it gets. I have to just trust. And yeah, and cinematically, there was this moment. I remember my old roommate was like, Zoe, you might have this like really grand cinematic moment where you and Teddy just like fully are there. And it happened. And so since then, that was about a year and a couple months ago. It was like right when we reunited, everything just went like ascension, traveled the world, went to Egypt, Dubai, like all of these like activating spaces where our union was being gridded and gridding. And then since then, we like have been on this epic trajectory, and Teddy's embodiment has been, yeah, profound. Profoundly grounded and different, and the things that used to trigger him in my femininity, in me just being feminine, super feminine, he now does exactly like you said. He sees it as a gift, as an offering, as a transmission. And something we've actually been doing lately that I want to share with anyone listening too is the way that we have been exercising our polarity. I'll give you two of our top practices. For 30 days, we were challenged to do this polarity dance where he would sit in his masculine grounded frame, deep in his breath and come into his core. And I'm like in my full Shakti, like fully letting my expression come through, and he's receiving it, right? And then the other one is we will take intentional trips, like going to a festival or going out to nature or whatever. And Teddy fully takes the reins, and he's so good at it. And he just like, he's in his full leadership. And my only job is to fully surrender and trust him. And those are just micros to the macrocosm of our relationship. So we prioritize those.
Mm. Yeah, I love that you're bringing polarity into this conversation. And maybe for someone who's not listening, who's listening and is not familiar with what exactly you're sharing, can you just like briefly explain the law of polarity and why and how that does impact the relationship in like a positive, like it charges up the relationship, right?
Yes. So in relationship, if we're just looking at the masculine and feminine as energetics, the masculine qualities, right, the qualitative pieces for masculine energetic is presence, right, groundedness, containment, being that ledge at the end of the cliff, Heather, and like a rootedness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the container. It's the parameters. It's the safe haven for Shakti, the feminine, to unfold and blossom and flourish in her multidimensional expression. So the feminine is the feeling, the sensitivity, the love. Ultimately, it's the expression of love. And the masculine is the unchanging consciousness that holds and witnesses that. Whereas the feminine is the changing consciousness that's dancing and being witnessed into form. And both of those are within us, right? So we get to exercise those within us first, but then being in partnership, we also get to exercise that. And masculine's also leadership, directionality, right? Like taking the reins, and the feminine, for the feminine to be able to soften into his leadership, to surrender, to honor his provision. We were talking about this last night. He pointed out that I wasn't honoring his provision. The mask, and I integrated it. I've been like letting it like assimilate, because we're always mirroring to each other where we get to be more refined embodiments, right, of both of those energies within us, but then in the relationship. So for me to respect him, to respect his provision, to respect and honor the fact that God is speaking to me through him, providing for me through him, right? And to not fight him on that, and to surrender and to be in this soft receivership, right? And then from that, he can lead more. And he knows that I'm going to be receptive to his leadership. And then he got it.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that so beautifully. It's really digestible. And it, even though I've heard that explained many times, it's like still like I'm getting new nuggets from that explanation. And I think for people listening, like especially men, they might be like, oh, well, I have to do all the work and she just gets to receive. But honestly, in my journey as like an embodied, entrepreneurial, strong woman, that actually is work for us to actually be in that receiver mode. Like it's so much easier for me to just take the initiative and lead. And it actually is the work to just lean back, to receive, to trust. And in that place, we're showing the man, like, I trust you, I respect you, like, I am devoted to your truth equally. And there's so much beauty that comes with receiving that in the feminine and gifting that to the masculine, to know, to allow the masculine to know that not only do we trust them, but it's safe for them to trust themselves. Mm. Because maybe they haven't had an opportunity to really feel that before. And that leads me back to you, Teddy, because someone asked in the chat, what is this like for you to be in these polarity exercises?
It's a good question. And I think it's important to remember that men are human, that men have emotions, that men are vulnerable. So it's not always easy. It does take a lot of work. Like a few words that come to my mind, which I hope that men can relate to, is there's like a nobility and like an honor of holding that frame. Cause we could be victim to life. Life can get hard, but there's a responsibility as the masculine to sort of go back to this place of just like, boom, this like this really deep, noble honor. You know, you've heard these things. I think it's good as a man, like I'll literally say to like a brother, and I'll be like, hey, bro, your job is to protect the women and children. Like, it's not, you don't just hear that in movies. Like, and something that hit me big time was a man doesn't have to walk down the street and worry about being raped, period. Like men don't have to worry about being taken advantage of or attacked because we're physically stronger than those things. And I think men don't realize that they have this this benefit, and as the masculine, just because you, like if you're physically a masculine man, there's a calling for you and there's a responsibility for you, and that responsibility is protection and guardianship and providing and creating that safety. And is it easy? No. I think Heather talked about like stepping into the fire, and there's an old like proverb about like you have to, like when one becomes two, you have to like kind of literally die, like a part of you literally dies, and there's a humility that comes with, and there's actually a grief. Before Zoe and I got back together, I realized that I started grieving for months. I started grieving at knowing that there's a Peter Pan in me that will have to die. You know, like if I become a father to kids, like there's commitments when you initiate yourself into these newer levels of devotion and like you pledge. As a man, I pledge to take care of my partner, to take care of my child. I pledge to like do whatever it takes to protect. That's where that freedom, there's actually grief in that freedom dying, but it's like a snake shedding its skin. You peel back these layers and become a new version of yourself. And you let this like identity, this old identity shift and this new identity come in. So it's not easy. It's not easy. It does take this phoenix energy. For me to be in love is to burn. like a phoenix, because to love someone unconditionally means that even when they're being hard and they're testing your ego, you continue to choose to commit, you continue to choose to protect, you continue to choose to serve, and that's hard. Like, you have to sort of like burn in it, or like die forward into it, and it takes a lot of humility. And one thing that shifted me, that I do want to just touch on, is I think in relationships they are these divine mirrors, and every single person grew up with a level of trauma and a level of childhood coping mechanisms that are subconscious that we bring into our lives as an adult. Until the day we die, we have these coping mechanisms, and there's a point, and I probably hit this point, we all probably hit this point in a relationship, where the vulnerability and the intimacy gets so deep that it tests your deepest childhood stuff. And a lot of people choose to abandon ship at this point and to choose a relationship that's easier. And they don't realize that the beauty is that, especially as the man, because men love the challenge, and we all have the masculine in us, so we all can appreciate the challenge. I realize that I don't want a woman who's easy. I want, and that's why I love Zoe. She has such strong values and boundaries. And for the women, and for the women out there, this is why it's like a secret code for the women out there to like have your strong boundaries and have your strong values, because the men love the challenge. However, it takes you have to sort of burn in that. And like, I know that Zoe is going to challenge me forever, but because Zoe challenges me forever, I get to continue to shed more layers and see my childhood coping mechanisms of survival and my childhood patterns and my programming. And she gets to poke at those things. The deeper we are, the more vulnerable we are, the more that stuff surfaces. And the same goes with her. Like, her deep stuff is coming, because the more time we spend seeing each other's blind spots, that's the best part about a relationship. But it's also the worst, because they know you better than anyone else, so they can see where the medicine is. But often we don't want to face that, and we want to avoid taking that. We see it as a judgment or like something bad, instead of seeing it as like, oh wow, maybe I am being what you say I'm being, like this negative thing that hurts me to receive. Mm. You know, that's why you kind of have to burn in it, and to have the humility and let that ego die through the partnership, and let that, and be open to becoming a new version of yourself over and over and over again. And then you get to a point, like Zoe and I are at this point, where you're just like, you're just cracked open, and things, and you're like, you're integrated into it. So like, you're humbly accepting and listening all the time, and you're not putting up a fight all the time. And that allows you to like fall forward and surrender forward into these like ascension levels of new versions of your identity. We're like, I have no clue who I am these days, to be honest, because like the more I just like allow myself to listen to Zoe, the more I'm like, oh shit, I should totally do that. I am being too aggressive, for example. Like, let me hold my frame, obviously, is a big one. And, you know, letting that ego not have a choice. And also, Zoe and I talk about this a lot, seeing the partner as God, seeing the partner as like this opportunity to just forget that they're a human saying things. Imagine that all of life is this divine, perfect plan. And and we have these people trying to tell us what to do, and we could block them away. But if you choose a partner who you trust, they're going to see those blind spots, and you see that as God giving you a message. So for us not to resist those messages, and to be open to choosing a partner who you respect enough that you know that it's going to be hard, but like you want their messages because they are great people and they're pure people. You know, I love Zoe's purity. Like, she's just like as real as you can get. And so I trust whatever codes, whatever medicine she challenges me with. And there's that humility in that.
Yes. And something I want to piggyback off that, you know, because it's really easy to resist our partner when the medicine's coming through, you know, and something I wanted to share, and then Teddy so beautifully went into it, is something that came through the other day is we choose the person, like for a man, he chooses the person he can best experience and serve and receive the codes of the goddess through. The woman chooses the man that she can best receive the provision, the protection, and the guidance, and the codes through, right? So Teddy and I are in that constant receptive state of, okay, how is God is speaking to us? And of course, it's not always easy, right? There's resistance and pushback that comes through because of our childhood programming, because of the things that come up, you know? An example is last night, he was giving me provision and I was resistant toward it, you know, because I was more in my masculine frame of, I've been in my entrepreneurship. I'm like on my grind right now. And so that is the dance of polarity. It's not that one's always holding one frame and one is always as well. It's a dance. And so Teddy and I are in the practice of polarity and noticing when we get to repolarize, right? And to have this language and this awareness is really, really helpful. But something he said last night when I was resisting was like, I don't feel like you're respecting me. And then immediately I'm like, I'm not respecting God's provision through my partner. And then I got to like really sit with that and integrate that. And now that's the medicine that I come and reflect on. And so this is another piece, is the spaciousness in union, right? Doesn't mean you need to like take massive space. And something that we tried the first time we were together and we moved in was like, we had two separate beds. And that's not the way we're doing things now. The way we do things now is he has his own office and studio, which you see behind him. He's in his space and I'm in my space, and it's fully my essence dripping all in this room. And I've got my own little temple in the closet, you know, and he's got his man cave, his command station. And then the main part of the house is where our union is, where we consecrate our love, where we do our union stuff, where we sleep in the same bed, right? So we have, we've set our space and our foundation up to support the thrival of us as individuals and us as a union. And then we're able to take all the data of what comes up in our relationship and then integrate it. But I just want to like reiterate, it's not always super easy. Like the resistance comes up, the wanting to be right. It's like, where do we want to be right instead of being love? And that's the constant thing to come back to.
Instead of learning. Like being right or being initiated. It's love too, especially like our choice to not have two beds. Like that's like choosing to work through everything no matter what happens. We can't run away from it. So we have to choose love in the end. And a lot of time it's just letting that ego die and just being like, I'm sorry. Like, I love you. Like, but you're right. It's hard to say those things, but I feel like the sooner you can, but it takes being grateful for receiving the data and like integrating the data from the partner and not letting your ego be hurt by it.
And one last thing I want to share, and this is especially pertinent, I mean, for men and for women, but as women, it's important to recognize like where we are in our cycle. Like right now I'm PMSing, right? So like I'm in luteal and I need a lot of space when I'm in luteal. I'm really on like, there's like a lot of processing that happens for me when I'm in luteal, and I can get really annoyed, right? So I understand this about myself, right? So I get to take my space and honor the practices that like help me connect with my womb and like the shadow work, whatever is coming up. And for him to know too where I'm at in my cycle, because it's like, it is a switch, you know, and we are four different women throughout the month, right? And so to honor the fact that that's part of our Shakti, that's part of our feminine, but then to be responsible for like knowing where you are in your cycle, for the masculine to know where we are in our cycle, right? It's like when we're PMSing, our womb is getting ready to grieve the fact that we weren't impregnated. So, and then that we weren't impregnated by the partner that we're with. So it's almost like subconsciously, we're like, fuck you, you didn't impregnate me. Like, we don't realize that's what's happening. But there's this dynamic that plays out. So to be aware, again, the awareness is everything. And then to have those practices in place that honor the totality of the individual to then support the union.
Wow, this is such gold. Yeah, I actually did a whole podcast episode around the cycles and the archetypes and the seasons that we go through. So this is really near and dear to my heart. And it's what I'm hearing from both of your reflections is the importance of finding balance in the union, where it's not like so far in the sovereignty direction that you've lost the connection. But also not codependent, right? Because that's kind of the old paradigm, is like it was super codependent. So then there was this like alternative movement to just be like so free. But in that, we've lost the balance. And so just like coming into a nice balance of like, you guys have set up where you have your own spaces to process, to be in your energy. And then you also have spaces to be in union. It's a really practical, great advice. And something else is to advocate and to take self-responsibility as the woman, to take responsibility for where we are in our cycles and to communicate that with the men, with our partners, with the woman, with anyone in our lives, really. And for the men as well, to be humble when maybe it's not easy, when we're being called up, but it goes both ways. I know that my partner and I both practice and taken the turns in calling each other up, but I feel like that's in my feminine heart as a priestess, in my Magdalene energy. I really resonate with you, Zoe. Like, I've been told, like, just share the visions, share the truth, stand for your values, even if it's really hard. And I've had some really hard conversations, but through those contractions, it's always been the most beautiful, biggest expansion on the other side. So it's like what we fear the most is really the catalyst that's going to take our relationship to the next level, that's going to meet more of our desires, more of our needs, and bring us in deeper union with each other, ultimately, even if there is some sort of like contraction or, I don't know, separation in the interim.
Separation.
We have like 5 minutes left, but I feel like we could talk for hours. We have 5 minutes left, and I want to give you guys a chance to share a little bit about how people can connect with you, but I just have one last question. And that is, like, what do you guys see the highest purpose of divine union being for the world?
It is.
Go ahead.
It is the catalyst for your greatest dharma and service to the world through the container of fully being seen and held to your highest. Ultimately, it's choosing someone who's going to hold you to your highest, and then continuing to meet what comes up along the way, right? And it's the harmonization of the masculine and feminine in union, right? That gets to ripple out into the entire collective as an offering. So in union, to love your person like it's your highest service to humanity, knowing that the union, the caliber of union that you cultivate, is an offering to the entire collective. And in that, it catalyzes you into your highest dharma. Teddy and I are both living testaments to that. He catalyzes me in all the business, like masculine ways, right? Like, he's gotten me to where I am, and then I calibrate him in the like soul codes and the interpersonal ways and like the ways of the heart. And that, to come together as a force like that, is the healing elixir that I feel will really restore the planet.
Amen.
Oh.
for me to answer that question, it's funny. My answer to that question is a bit of a paradox. And it's hilarious because with union, you have so much safety in the love from the other person and the support from the other person. And simultaneously, you have a challenge as you are constantly being called upon to be a better, higher version of yourself. So the best part about having a union is that you get to continue to shed layers of vulnerability and recreate new, better, epic versions of yourself through this, the safety and security of the love. The love allows you, the love gives you enough safety to feel secure enough to let yourself, as I said kind of before, to die forward into new versions of yourself so that you're always expanding and you're always being more conscious of your childhood survival patterns and, you know, any negative patterns that you don't need anymore because you're so safe now as an adult. And that gives you so much more resilience in life, mm-hmm. knowing that you have the safety of your partner to accept more challenges. And when you can accept more challenges in life, then you can really expand into like epic levels of discovery through that safety.
Yes. What I'm hearing from both of you, what I'm extracting is it's like a quantum pathway to just full soul expansion and dharmic resonance for the world that's healing not only for ourselves and our coming back to who we are, but really showing up in the world in the way that we came here and signed up for. And they're almost like, I feel like these divine unions are almost like a, it's like a master class, and they're like our lab partners that we're like, I'm gonna do this with you, like it's gonna be hard, but we're gonna do this together and we're gonna ace this together.
But yeah, you said like energy doesn't get created, it only like replaces. Yeah. So in order to expand, you do have to have the grief of those parts of you that die off, like that, like in order to become that new identity, you have to literally die into it in an interesting way and transmute that energy.
Well, we're gonna get hung up in 1 minute, so the best way for viewers to connect with you is through Instagram.
Yeah, Zoe Dane on Instagram. My podcast, The Better It Gets podcast, Teddy.
Yeah, just follow me on TED Shots. Just follow me on this Instagram link, and
great,
we'll be creating content for you.
Thank you so much.
I think we have about 30 seconds, and I just like to wrap everything up. I might get cut out, but what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling in my body is divine union is the most potent force on the planet and the largest catalyst to up-level consciousness. Like, it's really hitting home for me just sitting with both of you. So thank you. Beautiful. For codes.
And one last thing to add is imagine the babies that are birthed from that caliber of unconditional love and union. That is literally what's going to shift the planet.
Whole new species, baby.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the cis society movement.